Hello, and welcome to this, the first episode of the Sync Up podcast brought to you by StudySync. I'm your host, Damian C. Cohn, and today's topic is going to be the Common Core State Standards, or CCSS, what they are and how they will soon be affecting teachers across the nation. And our guest today to answer some of our questions on this very subject is Carrie Heath Phillips, who is the Program Director of the Council of Chief State School Officers. Thanks so much for joining us today, Carrie, and how are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing very well as well, thanks. And once again, thank you so much for agreeing to be our first guest on our very first show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be your guinea pig for this.
All right, excellent. And so perhaps we could just start off by having you tell us a little bit about what you do as program director at the CCSSO.
Mm-hmm. For the Council of Chief State School Officers developed the Common Core State Standards along with the National Governors Association. We did that on behalf of our member states, and we represent all states and territories in the United States. And my responsibility now is to work with states on implementing the Common Core State Standards. And during the development and adoption of the Common Core State Standards, I worked on those processes of getting the standards in place, working with states on adoption of those standards, and now we've moved into implementation of the standards.
So there's the adoption of the Common Core State Standards, and then there's the implementation of the standards. Could you perhaps explain what the differences are between these two concepts?
Sure. And I'll start off a little bit with where I think we came from, where states came from with this, to give a little context.
Certainly.
So states have had standards for what students should know and be able to do by the time they are done with each grade. Some states have had them for decades. And it kind of came around in the 80s and 90s when there was a move towards focusing more on outcomes for education. So what are students actually learning versus just inputs of, you know, how much money we're putting in, how many teachers, how many students are served, getting more towards, you know, what are students actually learning? And having a more outcomes-based system. So states have had education standards for a while, and then in 2001, when No Child Left Behind passed, all states were required to have standards. So there were some states who did not have educational standards then. But the important thing, I think, in the context of the Common Core is that standards have always been something that they have been set by states, and they have been within the responsibility of states to identify what the students in their state should know and be able to do, because education is not in the Constitution of the United States as a federal responsibility, so therefore it's delegated to the states to have that responsibility. So when we talk about adoption and implementation of the Common Core, the reason we talk about adoption is because state standards are the responsibility of states, so each state has to individually or has to make that decision about what are going to be the standards for what their students should learn in their K through 12 education system. And then from there, they work to make sure all their teachers and principals and superintendents are prepared to teach those standards.
I see. So when we talk about educational standards themselves, are we talking about like rigorous requirements that must be fulfilled by teachers and students no matter what, or are these voluntary standards?
So the standards are, for states, it's voluntary if the state decides to adopt them and use them. But for teachers and for schools, they are required standards. They are... So that is what must be the basis of the curriculum and the assessments and the instruction that happens in classrooms. So, but the standards are required. They're not just suggestions. But the standards are at a broad level of what students need to know by the end of the school year in order to be ready to go on to the next grade. So they refer to things like in reading that students will be able to identify key ideas and details in a story or in an informational text, or in math that they will have certain arithmetic skills by the end of a particular grade. So they aren't dictating what should happen on any individual day or month or even quarter within a school year, but they're saying by the end of the school year, all kids should be at this point so that they are prepared for the work of the next grade.
I see. Okay. So speaking, you were speaking about the history of these standards themselves. From what I understand, the Common Core State Standards are basically a revision of something called the CCR, or College and Career Readiness Standards, which was an initiative that was drafted in 2009. How do the CCSS improve upon this previous document?
So the Common Core State Standards initiative started off with the goal that our kindergarten through 12th grade education system should be preparing students in the end for, you know, there's many goals of education. There's, you know, citizenship, there's preparedness for your responsibilities throughout your life and being able to raise a family, but also to, you know, most importantly for at the state level, it's being able to say you're ready for college and you're ready for a career, or you're ready for a career when you leave, when you graduate from high school, that you're ready to go on to a meaningful job or into college. So the Common Core State Standards Initiative formally began in 2009, and in 2007, at the end of 2007 is when states began discussing this idea of developing common standards. So the first step in developing the Common Core State Standards was developing college and career readiness standards. So we started with the end in mind, that first you have to identify what students need to know and be able to do to be successful when they enter college, or to be successful when they enter job training programs for high quality jobs. So those standards were developed. The college and career readiness standards are part of the Common Core Standards Initiative. So those standards were developed in 2009, and then based on those, the standards for each grade were developed. So if we know by the end of high school you need to be at this certain point, then we can say, here's what you need to learn in kindergarten and first grade and second grade. So there's a staircase and there's a progression of learning so that by the time you graduate, all kids are at that point. So in the English language arts standards, the college and career readiness standards are listed at the beginning of the document. They're called anchor standards because they are the anchors upon which each grade level is based. So in the ELA standards, you see specifically where the college and career readiness standards are. In the mathematics standards, it's a little different. They are integrated throughout the math standards. So that you won't specifically see a list of what students need to be college and career ready in math, but those are woven throughout the math document.
I see. So you're saying that the college and career readiness standards are built into the Common Core, and then basically it's an expansion on that, essentially.
Yes. The Common Core is the articulation in each grade of what you need to reach the college and career readiness standards.
I see. So the adoption of the Common Core itself has been promoted with a claim that its focus on critical thinking will benefit students overall. In what way would the standards hope to achieve this goal?
The Common Core includes both content and skills in the standards. So for example, in mathematics, you have you need to learn certain procedures and algorithms and underlying concepts in mathematics, but then also you need to be able to apply those to new situations. So the critical thinking is built in that there's an emphasis on problem solving. So in math in particular, for example, in math, it's built into how you are able to solve unique problems, how you're able to reason within mathematics. So the critical thinking and problem solving are built into the standards within the context of each content area. So the Common Core views that you can't separate those skills from their content. That in order to be a critical thinker, you need to have knowledge upon which you are doing that analysis. That if you're working, you know, just pulling ideas out of thin air, then it's not really good critical thinking. It's more of rhetoric. So in English language arts, we're also seeing that critical thinking and problem solving are fundamental to skills, to what it means to be a good reader and means to be a good writer. And also to be in, there's standards for speaking and listening and language. So if your standards around, you know, being an active listener, you know, and what that means, it requires a lot of critical thinking and analysis in order to be able to engage in reasoned dialogue within the classroom or to give a presentation. So the critical thinking and other skills like problem solving and analysis are built into what it means to be a good reader, a good writer, a good mathematician. Because if you possess those, if you, you know, are a good reader, you know, you do have those critical thinking and problem solving skills. They're not a separate set that's devoid of content.
So would you say that the emphasis on critical thinking is sort of seeking to take the elements of education and make them more applicable to the real world and higher education after K through 12?
Yes, I think that the making the critical thinking and embedded within the standards makes it something that you can then apply it when you're, you know, if you are going on the job, you know, directly to a career or you're going to college, that being able to apply the knowledge you have to new situations is one of the most important things that students need to be able to do. They're going to be successful, you know, right out of high school or 20 years down the road.
Sure.
That application of what you know.
Yeah, that makes sense. So another concept I hear a lot about the Common Core is that rather than restricting teachers, it frees them up to focus on more deeper level thinking and activities. Could you explain exactly how the standards might help bring this about?
So one of the key principles when the standards are being designed is that they would be more focused and more coherent standards, and that they would be make it easier for teachers and parents and students to understand what was expected in each grade in order to be successful. So that's how one of the ways in which we get to that it's freeing up teachers is that there's fewer standards than there typically had been in previous state standards.
Oh, okay. So it's more simplified in that regard?
It is more simplified, and it's more, so there's fewer things that you need to do, and you need to do those in more depth. So how you get at the depth, so if you need to be able to, as one of the standards I mentioned before, that focus on key ideas and details and be able to see how those are connected, one as a reader, that, you know, that's, you can do a lot of different projects or activities or units as a teacher around that, rather than having to check off, you know, 100 different specific skills that you need to teach. So because it's fewer and more focused and they're more logically linked concepts, it's easier for teachers then to build units or lessons around those ideas without feeling like they have to move so quickly from one topic to the next to cover all the standards.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Yeah. Which was leading into my next question, where there's, you know, seemingly sort of divergent goals of increased standardization, but then more freedom for teachers. But you're basically saying that the Common Core seeks to bring this about based on making the standards more in-depth, but at the same time more simplified as far as what they're demanding on teachers, so that they're not basically running to try to keep up with one standard after another, and that they can basically focus deeper on a more simplified structure of standards for students.
Yes, yeah, so it's standardizing the outcomes that we have, but then allowing for more freedom and independence in the means of getting there. So we're really focused on, you know, at the end of the day, students need to have certain skills and knowledge when they graduate from high school. But that how you get students there will vary based on who those students are, based on the their skills and interests, based on bringing the creativity that teacher has too to the plate. So that we can't that it's important that we have students leaving their educational experience knowing they have those skills that will carry them forward, but not that, you know, that doesn't mean every kid will get there in the same way.
Speaking of freeing up teachers to be able to have more freedom in the classroom, I have run across a few different articles talking about how basically the Common Core could help bring art back to the classroom, interestingly enough. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's just basically like another result of allowing teachers to expand the breadth of the tools that they use to basically meet the standards? Mm-hmm.
I think that there's a couple ways that, you know, the standards try to encourage that interdisciplinary focus, and so including art in as part of that. And I think one is that the standards, particularly in English language arts, focus on integrating knowledge and skills. Reading standard number 7, there's 10 reading standards in the Common Core. Standard number 7 focuses on integration of knowledge and ideas. And we all do this kind of, you know, in our personal lives and professional lives as adults, is that, you know, we get information from a variety of places and we have to make sense of it. So you may watch something on TV, you may read a story about it, you may listen to a radio program, that the focus, such as this podcast,
right,
that you need to be able to then make sense and analyze the quality and the content of that information, and then put it all together so you have a coherent set of knowledge and understanding of that topic. So with arts, for example, in terms of arts integration, you know, one thing that the standards do focus on this is saying that you're taking different mediums of, you know, around a topic and then comparing those in order to build that body of knowledge. So for example, you know, if I was a fourth grade teacher before I started working at the Council of Chief State School Officers, I might do a social studies unit on, say, the Great Migration of African Americans to cities and to the North during after the Civil War and during the 1900s. So if I was going to do something like that, I may have a painting that's focused on that and, you know, use some of the great artwork that was done about the Great Migration, but also have, you know, an article about that or a story from our history textbook. And then also bring in maybe some firsthand accounts that you can use, you know, media such as paintings or other types of artwork in there. And then, through that integration, I think of the different types of ways you can portray information, that integration can come about. And then also just broadly, I think there's, you know, different ways students can express, and that in today's world we express, you know, what we want to get across. It's not just through writing.
So this diversification of using different forms of media in education, a lot of which I'm sure would involve technology in the classroom, do you see this as being yet another emphasis of the Common Core?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that is a focus in the standards as well, around in writing as well, the presentation or writing through online sources or, you know, through computer-based sources and through presentations or different, you know, interactive multimedia that you may use in order to do your presentations. The speaking and listening standards in the Common Core also focus on, you know, the different, you know, having creative ways of expressing, you know, your knowledge. So and I think one of the important things is to note is it's not just doing like a cool presentation, but doing that so you show content that you know as well, and to convey information, that it's not just, you know, well, that was a really cool thing, but it's actually not based on anything you've learned in school.
Right, of course, yeah.
So tying those together, I think, is one of the really critical things, so that, you know, for teachers, seeing that integration between subjects and being able to, you know, work with, say, the art teacher and the, if, you know, the classroom teacher, or the, if you're in high school, and the, you know, the different subject area teachers, of figuring out how you can integrate across these subjects so that students are having meaningful ways of showing what they know and displaying their knowledge through, you know, through the arts, or integrating it with what they're learning in social studies and science.
Well, you were speaking of adoption and implementation.
Yes.
Could you perhaps go a bit more in depth about the differences between these two stages, and maybe explain to us exactly who judges whether or not implementation has actually been achieved?
Mm-hmm. So adoption of the Common Core State Standards, what I mean by that is that that's when a state formally, states each have their own process for determining what their state standards are. Because that's the responsibility of the state. So for some, that means that their state, and typically it's that the state board of education has said that, has made the Common Core State Standards the official education standards for that state. Sometimes it's just that the chief state school officer, so that could be the, sometimes they're called state superintendents of education, that individual has made that decision. And sometimes the governor is also involved in that process. So when we talk about adoption of the Common Core, that means that a state has said that, you know, legally the Common Core are the standards upon which that state will set its expectations, or those are the expectations for students, for what they need to know and be able to do in their K-12 education. So adoption is more like an official state-level activity. Implementation of the standards is where the rubber meets the road. That's, so you can have on paper, which is an adoption of the standards, that, you know, we're going to say this is happening. And implementation is, you know, making sure that, and how you get teachers to understand these standards and to figure out what this means for, at their local level, their curriculum, their instruction, their different interventions that they have for students, their testing. So implementation is more locally driven, because education is such a community-based activity. And that its implementation looks different from state to state, and also from community to community, based on, you know, the values in that community, where they started off at. You know, maybe they had done a lot of focus already on some of these things, so they don't have as much that they need to do. But maybe this could be a huge change in some places where they haven't had these same expectations. So implementation now is being done at all levels. The state, at the state level, there's a role. At the school district level, there's a role. At the school level, and then at, you know, the individual teacher and classroom level, that there's a role that they have in making sure it gets down to students being able to learn these standards, so that they're ready for what comes next in their education.
So would you say that they're, you know, there's adoption, implementation. Is there a third step or element to it, which would be, say, verification? Because once again, I'm just curious how, you know, how do teachers know or get the feedback, and from whom, that they have indeed achieved these standards? The principal of the school who is reviewing what they've done, or is it from someone higher up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think ultimately, and implementation never really ends. It's not like, well, we fully implemented, we're
right,
done.
Now we're done.
yeah, like, well, we implemented, and then we have nothing else to do. I think you have nothing else to, you know, you're done when 100%, when all of your students are exceeding or meeting or exceeding what's expected in the Common Core. So, the way we, you know, the way you know if you've implemented the standards is ultimately our students learning these things, so that it'll ultimately come when we have new assessments that are based on the Common Core, and also that teachers are able to observe and parents are able to observe that their students are able to do the things that are listed in the Common Core. So, it, you know, student outcomes are ultimately what we're looking at. But, you know, there are certain things, you know, in them that you also can look at to see if you're on the road to doing that. You know, there's many tools out there to kind of look at, are your the lessons you're designing as a teacher, the units that you're designing either as a teacher or at the, you know, with other teachers in your grade or across grades, you know, are the lessons and units you're designing aligned with what the Common Core is saying? And that, you know, there are instructional materials like textbooks and other things that are those aligned. And that ultimately what we'll need to see is, so you have all this in place, does that actually translate into students learning these things?
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of tools out there to help see along the way, you know, do you have all the pieces in place? But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what a teacher is doing with students in the classroom, and is that translating to student actually learning?
So as teachers are adopting the Common Core and seeking to implement it, what sort of challenges would you see them facing, you know, along the way? And what sort of tools do you think could help teachers maybe potentially overcome these challenges and align with the Common Core?
Yeah. And, you know, teachers have so much on their plates that it's, and, you know, I think back to when I was a teacher, you know, this would be something that, you know, if a teacher had to do this on their own, it's overwhelming because we expect teachers to be, to do everything and to figure it all out and to be, you know, the social worker and the curriculum expert and the, you know, to be everything for the students in their classroom. So I think one thing for teachers to do is to start working with the other teachers in their grade level and across grade levels. You know, looking at like a, you know, if you're, if I was in fourth grade, I'd look at, you know, what was the third grade teacher and the fifth grade teacher doing as well, so that everyone's not going on their own to try to figure this out, because it is the Common Core, I think, the big things that you would want to look at as a teacher. You know, what are you currently teaching? If you do have a curriculum, and if not, you know, if you want to develop a curriculum, looking at, you know, doing sort of that audit of what you're currently doing, and is it kind of getting at the main concepts that are in the Common Core? And if not, what are pieces that, you know, rather than trying to do it all at once and saying, you know, take off the huge pieces, looking at some critical areas, you know, I would start off with, in English language arts, really focusing on developing text-based questions. So what I mean by that is there's a real focus in the Common Core on evidence. And so how do you, if someone asks you a question about a text, that you're able to point back to, you know, what did you read that made you think that? So this is sort of getting at the critical thinking and analysis skills, that you're able to take something you read and then make a, you know, a reasoned inference from that. So, for example, if you're reading a story that rather than asking, you know, what color was the girl's shirt, you're asking questions more like, well, why did that character make that decision? And or it's something rather than just, you know, do you like the little girl in the story? You know, which is something that, you know, it's kind of, you don't actually have to refer back to the story to do that. So I think if you're a teacher, there's, you know, starting with the most important things in English language arts and math would be a good way to go. So in English language arts, looking at how you make text, how you ask questions that are based on what you've read in the text. So I'd refer people to the website achievethecore.org, which is, there's some really good resources there. And in math, it's, I think, focusing on, the math standards focus on 3 to 4 concepts in a lot of depth in each grade. So starting to look at as teachers, you know, if there's these few things that are focused on really deeply, how you can start to incorporate that more into what you're teaching. And again, taking that chunk by chunk, and then looking at, you don't need all new materials to do this. You can take some of the existing materials you have and see how you might modify or supplement those to get at the standards. And certainly not to, you know, do this on your own, to talk with your principal and figure out what needs to be done at the school level to do this well.
So basically, yeah, it sounds to me like, you know, in our increasingly interconnected world, it's just important for teachers in general to reach out to other teachers and to seek to, rather than change the content that they're using to educate, rather to expand upon it using the curriculum that they've already established.
That's exactly right. And I think one of the critical things that's sometimes the hardest to do is to look very closely at what you're teaching and think about what you need to stop doing. One of the, I think, the cautions and one of the things we've seen with implementation of the standards is that people have added on then. They said, oh, well, the Common Core does this, so we're just going to build that onto what we're already doing. And that, if you're a teacher, there is not time to be, there's already enough that you have to try to do in a school year. That the Common Core has fewer things that you need to learn, but in much greater depth. So I think one of the really important things is to say, what do we need to stop doing so that we have room for kids to really learn these concepts well and to master them and to give kids time to do that and to have those rich, engaging learning experiences, which teachers often want to do, the bigger projects rather than just, you know, the kind of touching on one thing for a few days, moving on to the next, and kind of that frantic pace. So I think also it's taking what your current curriculum, your current materials, and also really an eye towards what are you going to stop doing that isn't really helping, that's nice to do, but may not really be helping students be prepared for what they need to do that year and you know, then when they move on to the next grade,
Sure. Sure. Well, Carrie, we've gone slightly over the 30-minute mark here. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today about the Common Core.
Oh, yes. It's been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
And also, of course, thanks to everyone who tuned in to this first episode of the Sync Up podcast brought to you by StudySync. And if you'd like to know how StudySync is helping more and more teachers align their lessons to meet the Common Core standards this year, please visit StudySync.com. StudySync together, we're smarter. I'm Damian C. Cohn, and I'll be talking to you the next time it's time to sync up.